Hello and welcome to Tapped. I'm one of your three hosts, Julie Donofrio, and with me are Gretel Trong.
Hi guys.
And Joseph Fusco.
Hello.
And we came up with this brand new podcast because we were getting a little tired of talking about really cool, fun things and then it being in the news the next day. So we said, well, why don't we just break news ourselves? So we came up with Tapped, and this is our inaugural episode, and we're very excited that you are joining us. So I think we're gonna start with this weekend. So much going on. First, in the world, we want to acknowledge the events in London and in Manchester, England. You know, a lot is going on today, and it's hard to wrap our heads around it. But I think it's suffice to say our hearts are with all the folks across the pond. And one thing we did watch that really moved all of us, I think, was the One Love Manchester benefit concert that Ariana Grande and her producers put together. I know, Gretel, you were watching it via live stream. What were your thoughts?
I was watching it live. Yeah, shout out to all my friends in the UK. Big love to all of you, and really felt the love coming out of Manchester this weekend. And I think it also proves the power of media entertainment to have a healing effect. And I think Ariana Grande, and shout out to Scooter Braun, really did an amazing job pulling together some fantastically talented people, but people who also put their heart on the stage. And you could really see that. It was a thoughtful production, and it was really hard not to cry. So I cried.
Yeah, and what I was really impressed by, you had this, and thousands of people gathered in this rugby field, and they put on a heck of a show. Like, you truly felt a united, loving spirit, and I was really impressed by the variety of people who showed up.
Yeah, and it's not the type of event that we really are used to seeing so much anymore. I mean, I grew up with the era of Live Aid and Farm Aid, and unfortunately, the New York benefit after 9/11, and even the 12/12/12 concert after Hurricane Sandy. But we're now a few years past that, and it seems like the era of the big rock concert benefit performance has sort of gone by the wayside as we have fewer and fewer rock acts and more sort of solo artists. So I was really thrilled to see that they came together and put together really an incredible show, and really goes to the spirit of Ariana Grande, who I think is really rising to the occasion in ways that perhaps maybe she didn't even know she would be put in the situation or could.
Yeah, it was really impressive to see, you know, Katy Perry sharing the stage with Coldplay and the Black Eyed Peas, and Miley Cyrus, who you could see the genuine friendship she has with Ariana. And unfortunately, I think Ariana had to mature in a way that she never, I mean, she was mature, but I think this was unexpected, and she really did rise to the occasion.
Absolutely. I mean, you saw Piers Morgan apologize to her, but you really saw an intergenerational coming together for this moment, because obviously her fan base is skews much younger, but I think with the help of Facebook and Twitter, and, you know, as Mark Zuckerberg said, this is a great use of Facebook Live, and being able to, you know, log on to your phone or your Facebook account, it was really hard to miss it. I mean, I watched it literally in a train station, waiting for a train, because it was hard to miss. And then once you started watching, you didn't want to miss a second.
Yeah. And so, really impressed us with the role models, I think, for young women as well. Like, here's a very strong young woman, 26 years old, thrust into a spotlight she didn't want in this regard. And, you know, I think it touched all of us. And I think leads to our main topic today of strong women and the number one movie at the box office, Wonder Woman.
Woo! Over $240 million worldwide grossed in just a few days. I think we're only about 5 or 6 days out from its premiere. And an absolutely tremendous production, a great movie, and it is deserves every penny that it has earned. And so much credit goes to the studio, who handpicked, and wisely so, Patty Jenkins to helm this movie. I think it was a brilliant move on their part. I think she rose to the occasion and killed it, making a fantastic movie top to bottom. And I'm so glad that she has made this film. She made Monster about 8 years ago with Charlize Theron, which she won the Academy Award for. And she is, that was her last feature. She's been working in television since. And to now helm a $200 million budgeted film, a tentpole, as part of the start of a franchise, she did a phenomenal job, and I'm so glad to see that she did that.
Yeah, and so Joseph and I saw the film in 70mm, which we'll talk a little bit about today, but there's enough for a whole episode there. But we did see it this weekend, as did Gretel.
I saw it opening night, Friday night, with another friend, and just, you know, to even be in the lobby of the theater, because I got there first, and watch the amount of people from every walk of life coming in really excited, some in Wonder Woman shirts and whatnot, ready to see this film. Like, the buzz was real. And to be honest, I bought my tickets only a few days before that. And I was one of those who came because the reviews looked so good that I was like, okay, I have to see this film.
Right. And, you know, part of me, I think Joseph's the only one that saw Batman versus Superman.
Unfortunately.
And
we'll get to that in a second.
But her debut, I think, in that film set this movie up for a bit of failure and lowered expectations. And the fact that this exceeded expectations, you know, even the trailer, I was sheepish at first to admit, I kind of want to see this. And then I was like, I want to see this. And I'm so glad we did.
Absolutely. I actually was concerned about the film going into it because I thought that the marketing of the film was quite poor. That this was a movie they did not know how to market. And to me, I didn't think the trailers as trailers themselves, first of all, they did not do the film justice. I mean, the film is just on a different level. But I got the sense that the studio and the marketing team behind it didn't know what they were handling. And so I was afraid that the film would be mishandled. And were it not for the fact that it's so good and the reviews came out and were like beyond what was expected, I think that audiences would think of a superhero movie. That's what is really carrying this film. It has entirely to do with how good the movie is and the work that everyone in the film did, and very little to do with, I think, what the studio's doing with
it. I completely agree. I was not thrilled with the trailer, and it was the reviews was what sold me to even just go see it in the big screen.
Yeah. Well, this is a good place to just say spoiler alert, in case we do divulge any wonderful things from the film. If you haven't seen it yet, we, of course, would love for you to keep listening, but I feel it's our responsibility to just let you know we might divulge something that you might not want to know just yet.
So, sing it for your ears.
Yeah, so let's talk about the film a little bit, and then we can get into deeper topics about the making of. But this is the first time we saw Wonder Woman's origin story, and I loved it. I loved the casting of real athletes. Like, these are world-class Olympic athletes who trained to do the fight scenes in the opening. And that just so impressed me, to have strong, real women on the screen. I got emotional.
I mean, let's be real. We all agree the first half of the film's the best half. And, you know, for those who are unfamiliar, Wonder Woman comes from an Amazonian island in this world, somewhere off the coast of Europe, covered with a bubble.
Yes, invisibility shield.
Yeah. Full of amazing warrior women. And it was great to see that. And it was just beautiful, colorful, bright, and everybody had such a great spirit, so well acted, so physically perfect in a sense that you believed every moment of it, even though you knew it was not a real place.
And to that point, actually, one of the things that impressed me in that sequence was that, for the most part, they were dealing with a practical environment. Mm-hmm. They really were on an island on mm-hmm. the side of a mountain, and the sea was actually there. They were not in a created CGI yeah. green screen mm-hmm. environment, which films of this nature in the past would rely heavily on that. And that, I think, was a real tip to Patty Jenkins, who took a different route, took an organic approach. Now, obviously, as the film progresses and we get into the World War I battlefield and the No Man's Land, obviously those are environments that need to be created or enhanced. But being on that island and having those performers actually doing those stunts gave it a very tactile environment, like really an old school movie that we're just not used to seeing anymore. And so I thought that was a brilliant choice, and it totally brought me into the film. I never felt like that sheen of mm-hmm. you can't get too close because you know it's animated.
Mm-hmm.
I knew that was a real spot somewhere, and I hope to figure out where it was so I can book my next vacation there, because it's a great spot.
And I think the casting of Gal, is it Gadot?
Gal Gadot, yeah.
Gadot.
Gadot.
G-A-R-D-O.
I apologize.
Yeah, we all just apologize.
But you were fabulous, Gal. And, you know, I know there have been some issues because she is Israeli, and it was banned in Lebanon because there's been a long history of contention between those two countries. But the rest of the world is getting to see her wonderful performance, a very strong actress, I think, and really carried the film. And it's hard to carry a female superhero to carry a film. And I was really impressed with her.
Especially with an unknown performer and not as a seasoned a performer as we've seen in the male superheroes of past, which have worked to varying degrees of success.
So this is truly historic in its breaking box office records. You know, it's historic for Gal, it's historic for Patty. Do you think this will change, you know, how Hollywood decides on... No, Gretel shaking her head.
Well, I'm going back to the theme of our podcast, which is Tapped. And mm-hmm. I would say that every woman in Hollywood knew that this film would work, or a film starring a female superhero would work, if written well and if directed well and if acted well, which all of those things were more than available at any point in the last 100 years of cinema. So it was never a matter of if, it was always a matter of when. And we waited 76 years for Wonder Woman to be brought on
to the big screen.
And so,
yeah.
I mean, I think it will change things.
I think we're seeing it already, and it's slow, but it's happening, and you can trace it back to The Force Awakens with Rey, to Rogue One with Jin, to this film. We are moving away, ever so slowly, but we are moving away from the young boy on a quest myth mythology to young woman on a quest mythology. We're shifting that paradigm, and it's proving successful. Force Awakens, almost $2 billion. Rogue One, over $1 billion. This is at $200 million in 5 days. Audiences are very much connecting to the notion of a female superhero, I put in air quotes, especially if the projects are really well written, which they are. We have the new Alien film, not a particularly great film, but Catherine Waterston does a fantastic job of slipping into the Sigourney Weaver role of Ripley. Even it's not Ripley, but it is. So we're moving there. Hermione is still a great character. Beauty and the Beast that came out this year, Emma Watson did a fantastic job, and that film was raking it in.
Hidden Figures, female-driven engineer.
And obviously, too, space and all movie. The Hunger Games movies. Like, we're getting there.
We're getting there.
I just wait for the time when we don't have to classify it as a female-driven movie or a female-directed movie.
The best line that I heard, and I can't remember her to credit, is like, it's when we can make a really bad female film and then get to make another one that'll matter. I mean, just look at...
That's right.
Again, we'll go back to Batman versus Superman and some really terrible films that have been made about male superheroes.
But Zack Snyder gets to work again.
Yeah.
Ben Affleck gets to work again.
Yeah.
Not calling you out individually, but I guess I just did. But
The Boys Club gets to work again. And that's really what it is. I mean, and The Boys Club of these types of tentpole films, it's a very limited pool. It's Zack Snyder, it's Brett Ratner, it's Ben Affleck, and Bryan Singer, and James Wan, and Justin Lin. Like, those are pretty much your group. Those are the guys that are making all these movies. Some of them fail, some of them do well. They always work. They don't get hurt by a flop. If Patty Jenkins had made a flop, that would have been it.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
But yet she also made Monster and went on to work in television all these years. So kudos to her for sticking it out, for just doing her thing. You know, when it comes down to it, it's just doing the work. And I believe she's already signed on for the sequel, mm-hmm. which is fabulous. Patty, you've got our...
We're all ready to go see it.
We're
tomorrow.
Right, like now.
And also, too, I think it also shows proof of just a strong director, no matter the sex. I mean, she turned down doing something in 2005.
Yep.
When it was first brought to her, because she wanted to be with her family. And so I think, again, like things happen in the right time with the right people at the right moment. And I think this is one of them.
Yeah. And I'm just really psyched. So this was a DC Comics film. They're branching out and finally putting their weight behind Wonder Woman. But this also reminds me of Guardians of the Galaxy. The first film was written by a woman. It was written by Nicole Perlman. She adapted Guardians of the Galaxy. So kudos to Marvel, kudos to DC for finally... realizing that it's not just guys who are following these characters, that and we're not just following Wonder Woman either. It's Superman and Batman. Like, and we're coming to these films, so.
But no, everybody's coming.
Everybody's coming.
I'll put a caveat as I'll put a DC, please make the sequel written by a woman as well, and make it even better.
Yes.
And I think too is like, I put this on par. I looked at Wonder Woman and never thought of, oh my gosh, it's a female-driven film. I thought, I was like, okay, it felt very much like Captain America to me. Like, if I were to put it on par with anything, like, that's where I would compare it.
Absolutely.
And in the pantheon of very recent superhero movies, I was just looking up, there's been 3 Supermans, 5 Batmans, can't count how many Spider-Mans in like the last 30 years. There's been 15 Superman Batman movies. Like,
wow. Thanks for throwing us a bone.
But it's not,
start.
We also, I think, crave, with Guardians, we crave fresh stories, create new characters. We don't have to regurgitate everything every 5 years. And I, there's been sometimes when I've sat through like all the trailers, how many of those were sequels? How many, I think that's something too. Let's think about like, this is a new journey, a new story, a new origin story. And that is also what drove a lot of the great reviews. And I think that we were all just wanting something kick-ass, lovely, Funny.
I love Chris Pine.
Chris Pine
is fancy. He's a perfect foil.
I loved her fish out of water sequence when she gets to London. Just taking that ubiquitous montage of trying on clothes and turning it into something so funny.
And practical. That was, I think, a Patty Jenkins' brilliant choice, was the amount of moments where you're going to flip a scene that you normally, whether it's like trying on wedding dresses or really beautiful things, and you flip it a bit on its head, and you're like, what really is it going to matter? And I think my one call out would be in comparison to Batman versus Superman, which the worst scene in that is 100% the bathtub scene. And they flipped that on script on its head, I think, in Wonder Woman, when Chris Pine is taking a bath. And it was the opposite of our lovely Lois Lane Superman moment.
The one area where I will disagree with you. Your claim that the worst scene in Batman vs. Superman is the bathtub scene. I will only amend this slightly by saying every scene is the worst scene in Batman vs. Superman. I didn't think they could make movies worse than The Phantom Menace. And they did. And it was Batman versus Superman. All I can say is I hope that Amy Adams made a lot of money making that hunk of shit.
Well, the Justice League is coming back. I also could not believe that they showed the Justice League trailer before Wonder Woman. Like, is this like, oh, she'll be back, don't worry about it.
That's just the way the franchises go.
The one thing just I would like to add about that, they've been saying that this summer is the summer of franchise fatigue, because like Baywatch went into the toilet, Pirates of the Caribbean went into the toilet.
Pirates of the Caribbean, I love that. But
the thing is that some of the best movies I've seen this year were franchise movies. Fast and Furious 8,
it was wonderful.
Fantastic. This movie was fantastic. Wonder Woman was fantastic. So really, it just is bad movie fatigue. That, I think, is the problem.
So I think we just wrap this up by saying, Patty, you're a fabulous director. I hope this... there's been some rumors that this might break the Best Picture Academy Award ceiling of superhero films. So fingers crossed that you might get a nod this time next year. So keep doing what you're doing, and I look forward to seeing your next work, because I was really impressed. I think we all were. And
don't rush it. I'm just, as I said, there's so many other movies. Like, for the next one, like, take your time, think about things. There's a little bit too much Zack Snyder in those last couple battle scenes. And do something that you really, truly believe in.
Well, Monster was a hell of a movie, and this was a hell of a movie. Yeah. So.
And
congratulations,
Brie Larson and the folks behind Captain Marvel. Keep your eyes on this, because she was able to do something fresh with Wonder Woman, and we know you can do some amazing things with Captain Marvel. So I really look forward to seeing that in a couple of years, because we need more strong characters. Period. We just need good stories,
good writing, good all the things. We're ready to buy those tickets.
Word.
Well, thank you for listening to this, our very first episode of Tapped. Please follow us on Twitter @TappedPod.